And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Unafeared, here and declare your independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEAUT full studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. Okay, we're going this hour. We found a friend, I am sure. We're going to be new best buddies by the end of we get done here. Jim Tobin is the father of Christina Tobin. You know, and Ms. Tobin, she's come on free and equal elections, and time that I've talked to her over the years, she has definitely, her roots go back to dad. You know, we have our four children from, they knew it was election cycle then when they were 2 years old because it's envelope stuff and time. I mean, you know, they just like, I go, hey. We go get a VHS videotape and some pizza, and man, we just sit for two movies worth of we're stuffing envelopes or something. You know, they were involved. They saw it, what really happened, and they go and see what the news said happened. They're like, and I call BS on that. So this is, we want to get back to the source. Let me go ahead and introduce Jim Tobin here real quick. Do a little bio. Now, Jim Tobin. In 1976, Jim Tobin founded Taxpayers United of America, TUA, a taxpayer thing, which has become one of the largest taxpayer organizations in the country. He has appeared on hundreds of radio and TV programs, including ABC, CBS, Fox, WGN, NBC news programs. His tax cutting activities have been the subject of articles by major media, including the Chicago Tribune, New York Times, Washington. I mean, it goes on and on and on, magazines and newspapers. Tobin received an MA in international economics from Northern Illinois University. He worked for 9 years as a Federal Reserve Bank examiner. Okay, well, what does that tell you? We need to know about that. Specializing in international finance, Tobin was one of the first economic experts to predict the collapse of Continental Bank and to warn of the dangerous extension of credit by U.S. banks to bankrupt foreign governments. From 79 to 99, Tobin taught economics at Elmhurst College. Tobin gained notoriety in 77, leading the first successful property tax strike in Illinois history. Subsequently, his organization has saved taxpayers more than $100 billion. In 2002, Tobin ran for Lieutenant Governor of Illinois, representing the Libertarian Party of Illinois. Wow. Okay. Well, we got skills here. All right, Jim, welcome to the show. It's great to finally talk to you.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me. I'm looking forward to this.
Well, I tell you, let's go ahead and skip to the end and go right to why you're looking forward to it, because you want to share what?
I really would like to talk about the government pensions. They're ridiculous. We were fortunate enough to obtain a contract a few years back to visit various states, total of 20 states, actually. And when we visited Arizona, I was in Arizona releasing the top government pensions, names and amounts and estimates of the amounts of money they get by the time they leave us. It's incredible the number of amount of money that people are getting. And I'm talking about, of course, state and local government retirees. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, no,
here.
I want to talk about. Can I get you closer to the microphone? You're really low, and I got you cranked up all the way.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah, thank you. We have friends that are retiring. They're our age, in their mid-50s. They did their 30 years. They're ready to go, man. And they're police officers and firemen for the city of Phoenix. And we at parties, we're on cruises, we're good friends with some kind of, all right, tell me everything. And we already know. They, in the way that you retire and how much overtime you do in the last couple of years, if you get the numbers up real high and you go and kind of, and then it's a gazillion, trillion dollars and we make it, and you guys, the guys after us aren't, it's going to go bankrupt and sucks to be you and that's too bad and give me my money. And right. I'm going, it's gotten to the point that it was numbers that I had no idea were so high. It was something like, you know, for firemen, you know, it's like, I don't know, it's got half the police and firemen, it's over half of the city budget goes into, you know, just their retirement and for them. I'm going, whoa, is that a typo? Is there something wrong here? Tell us how bad it is.
Well, we released the pensions names and amounts and estimates in Arizona when I was there in 2012. And I'll give you an example. Robert Gibbons retired from the Phoenix Police Department, and his average pension, his pension, annual pension, was $122,000 in 2012. And we estimated that if he has a normal lifetime, he will collect $3,678,000 if he has an average lifespan. Because these police and fire folk, they mostly retire in their 50s, some in their 40s, the fire guys do sometimes. So if you're 55 years of age and you're still around, or if you're still around and you happen to be 55, your average life expectancy is to 85. So that means you're drawing a pension for 30 years, being paid to do absolutely nothing. And, of course, the constitutions in various states, most particular Arizona and Illinois, the constitutions are very, very tough. They make it very difficult for us, if not impossible, to cut the pensions for existing retirees.
Well, that was one thing. Problem. That was one thing that happened. It was, oh man, I what was the deal? It went something like this: there was the union saw that this was unsustainable. They cut the benefits and tried to do it for the people that had already retired, and they sued. When they had to pay it off just for 3 years, it was close to I can't remember. It's like hundreds of millions of dollars. It was just a ridiculous amount. It was like a billion, or I mean, some stupid number, just for the 3 years. And the city is like, we're coughing up blood doing that, and they keep papering it over. How are they papering this over? Is it, you know, bonding? Are they doing? This is not sustainable, and no, I'm wondering how they're holding it off.
Well, basically, it's bluff. In some states, like Illinois, there are companies that pay people for salaries that are owed by the state of Illinois, for example, and they're paid at a discounted rate. So that keeps the employees or the people who have contracts with the state in business. And speculators, of course, expect to get the face amount of the debt. So that's part of the way they're pulling off these scams. But what we have discovered as we've gone on and on and on are ways to expose, and we think the best way to do this is by using the names of the retirees. And ironically, Illinois has the best information available on retirees, their names, amounts. Picking a guy here randomly, Gary Catalani in Illinois has an annual pension of $293,000. He's already received, or he contributed $289,000. He retired at age 56. He's already received $1,890,000. If he has an average life expectancy, he will receive $10,299,000. Now, this is a guy who was a teacher, a high school or a grammar school teacher, probably a high school teacher. And because they can retire with full pension as young as 55, they're around another 30 years on average and drawing down these huge pension amounts. And Illinois, raises in the pensions. The pensions go up 3% on a compounded rate, so they double after 22 years.
Damn. You know, here in Arizona, it really started heavy when they started to collectivize, unionize, getting aggressive in all these different programs right after the first Iraq War. When all these guys started coming back, they just fed right into the fire and police departments, and they had an overall come-together group called Guns and Hoses. It's firemen and police. We're going to get us some more from the taxpayers.
This is Donna Hancock.
Yeah, no, I saw this happening, you know, as a young activist in the 90s, early 90s. I've been doing this since 88, and 25-plus years of, you know, I get it. And I'm telling you, Jim, this is, it's unsustainable. I'm wondering, right, how are they holding it off? Well, it is something.
In Illinois, we lost 100,000 taxpayers last year. They moved out of the state. 30,000 new people came in. Don't know where they came from, Europe, Asia, Africa, who knows where.
A
net loss, that's a net loss of 70,000 people last year. That's how part of, that's what might continue to happen in Illinois if we don't get this problem under control. Right now, there are 12,154 state pensioners collecting more than $100,000 a year for doing nothing. And 85,893 state pensioners are collecting more than $50,000 a year. That's, and this doesn't include hundreds of police and fire pension funds. These are just the state-funded, in other words, taxpayer-funded.
Yeah, see, that's another thing. The police and firemen, I got the impression talking to them, is that it's separate from the other general fund. They did some kind of special. They're not, they have to worry as much about something.
Right, because they're funded by property taxes locally. And that's why generally they feel safer. But this cannot continue. Obviously, in my mind, it's one of the reasons why our growth rates are lower than they used to be. We'd see average growth rate of 3-4% a year in the United States. But now we're lucky if we get a growth rate of 1-2% a year. And part of that reason may be all these thousands and thousands of people, well, millions now, they're retiring in their 50s, sitting back and doing absolutely nothing and drawing huge checks, pension checks. By the way, we get a taxpayer-funded pension. We taxpayers, it's called Social Security Retirement Benefits.
Yeah, it doesn't
and
come close.
Our average pension is $16,000 a year. That's what we get after we retire at 67 or so. The highest Social Security pension would probably be around $30,000.
Okay, here's a good question. What a person that makes these firemen and so on, I don't know, what's their average salary? 70, 100,000? I mean, it's not like they're, you know, paupers, you know.
Right.
So what are they making about, you think?
Well, it depends on which state, but in Illinois and Arizona, they're probably making around $70,000 by the time they retire.
Okay, so let's say they're, you know, let's say $50,000. You know, we got a $50,000 somebody making whatever. I'm going, all right, how much of that is paid in Social Security as compared to someone that's paying in to retirement? The other question is, if they're paying into retirement, their municipal, firemen, police, do they also pay Social Security? They're going to get that benefit too?
Well, it depends on particular situation. They pay generally 9% of their salaries for their lavish gold-plated pension.
Okay, and what's the percentage that we pay in Social Security?
Oh, probably around 14%.
Okay, so they pay, you know, 3, 4%, 5% less, you know, to a pension that's going to give them, you know, 5, 10 times what we get forced, we got to pay in Social Security that they spend.
That's correct, but they of course expect to draw down the pensions from future taxpayers. They expect us as taxpayers to work into our 70s.
Okay, now when we come back, let's do that right there. You know, how much they pay, how much we pay, what the benefit we get back, and how it's paid for. All right,
okay.
So here we go.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Yes, head banging on the wall with this stuff. This is bad. Okay, let's go ahead and have Jim Tobin explain to us. You know, let's do some comparison. You have a fire and police guys, they usually average in about, I don't know, 70 whatever thousand a year that they're making, plus, you know, they're just, you know, pumping into, you know, retirement. They're going to make as much or more then. But they're, you know, making some money. Let's just use a round off number like $50,000 a year. You know, we have, you know, poor little us and teachers and them and whatever, and $50,000. I would pay in to Social Security, you know, a percentage. They would pay in to their retirement a percentage. I would get back what? They get back what? And who's going to pay? Is it money that's paid in, or is it future taxpayers? I mean, that kind of, you know, metric dynamic right there, you know, explain that to us, will you, Jim, by comparison?
Well, the key difference is our average pension for taxpayers from Social Security is $16,000, whereas their average pension is closer to $50,000 a year. And in states like Illinois, it doubles every 22 years or so.
I'm fading on you. Get the microphone up again, please.
Yeah.
There you go. Thank you.
And in state, the difference is that our taxpayer average pension from Social Security is $16,000, whereas their average pension is closer to $50,000-$60,000 or more, and it will double in Illinois after 22 years.
Well, what's their contribution, though? I mean, I'm paying what percentage to do Social Security, and they're paying what percentage to get, you know, this nice little creme de la creme pension thing?
Well, we're paying about 14% to get back $16,000 a year, but we have to work until we're in our late 60s, 67, whereas they can retire at 55, generally, with full pension. And they get much more than we do for a much longer period of time.
And what percentage are they paying? We're 14, whatever percent. What are they paying?
Yeah, they're paying 8 or 9%.
Yeah. And, because they can.
they get back three times as much on an annual basis, and for a longer time, 30 years versus us.
Okay, now when was this done?
I know people who have to keep working into their 70s. Even 80s,
of course,
in order to pay their bills and of course, pay for these ridiculous, lavish, gold-plated pensions.
Okay, where did this come from? When did this happen? What was the push behind the scenes under cover of darkness of you didn't know about it, and Jim Tobin's out there going, hey, what the hell, man? I mean, you know, when did this negotiation of these contracts or something, where did it come from? How? When was the push?
Well, it came from the unions, the government unions, and their friends at City Hall and of course, most importantly, at the government school districts, the government teachers' unions are the worst of the bunch. They get even much larger pensions than police and fire. It's the average teacher pension in Chicago is $77,000 a year, according to the New York Times. And that's a pension. You're getting paid for doing nothing for 20, 30, 40 years of your life.
You know, the problem that I have with it is that, you know, not only is the taxpayers, you know, creating, and it's a false demand of mandate of you got to have these employees to begin with, but that they get to these pensions that we have to, it's not like they're paid for or invested in now. It's on the future taxpayers paying their pension. It isn't like an investment, or it's even, you know, adjusted, or it's like, you know, these pensioners are owed the money, kind of, and then the future guys, well, your grandchildren got to pay for Papa's, you know, stuff. And I'm going, this is, I mean, it's not only is it unsustainable, it's wrong. And I'm wondering,
yeah,
I mean, who's making this decision?
It's legalized theft, and the police and fire retirees, and most importantly, the teacher retirees, especially the university people, you know, they're participating in legalized theft and making us work into our 70s to pay our own bills and for their lavish gold-plated pensions. It's theft, legalized theft. It's immoral, and anything else you want to say about it. And the horrible thing about it, I was just in downstate Canton, Illinois yesterday, releasing the top pensions for Canton and McDonough and the counties they happen to be in. And we came up with the numbers, the average salaries, and average home is worth about $89,000 in value in one of those towns. You've got here income redistribution from less affluent taxpayers to much more affluent government retirees. That's what it is. It's income redistribution from the poor and middle class to wealthy or affluent government retirees who can retire in their 50s. We have to work into our 70s, if we can keep our jobs that long.
To pay them.
To pay them, yeah. Well, the good thing about this is that you can move to another state. And that's what's happening in Illinois the last 5-6 years. There's a huge outflow of people from the state of Illinois lower tax states and states with a nicer climate too. For that matter,
Arizona. You know, well, we got the same problems too, and they do this because I know why they do it. I know why. You know, they take all this money and redistribute. I know why. You know why? I know why. Because they can. Okay.
There you go.
So I'm going, this is, they go, well, how did they come? Because they can. I sit there and watched it happen. I know the lobbyists. I've debated at the unions. I've been in forums. I run for office. That's another thing. You've been a libertarian office, run an individual. I've run for state legislature, I think, twice, county recorder once, secretary of state twice, Congress three times, U.S. Senate against McCain. You know, I did my bit, checked off all the boxes, filed lawsuits, go to the Ninth Circuit, Court of Appeals, make oral argument as my own attorney on election law. I get it. So talking to your daughter, and she said, well, we got to get, free and equal and have the access to, which is cool. But I'm going, I'm glad she's doing what she's doing, and you definitely had an impact on her. But I'm going, there's something way more fundamental that's going to explode all over the place, and everybody's going to have a voice on national television bitching about it. What do you think that might be?
Well, I think the most effective thing is what we've been doing for the past 8 years. We publicize the names and amounts of these bloodsuckers, and we release those amounts and names in the communities. Yesterday, we were downstate Illinois. We released the top 1,200 pension payouts for retirees down in those two little counties down there, and they're on our website. If you want to go and see the names of the people from Arizona who are getting these top ridiculous pensions, we have their names. We have the amounts.
Right now, we're going to put it in the archive. We've got to make sure everybody go and click and do it. Right, where do they go? Donna's right here, got her mouse over the, where she goes. She goes to your website, which is?
TaxpayersUnited.org.
TaxpayersUnited.org, or
no, just TaxpayersUnited.org.
Okay. TaxpayersUnited.org. Make sure, and if you got it wrong,
then
in the
you
thing
click
right
on now. The state. We've visited 20 states. You click on Arizona, and you'll see the top pensions in Arizona for state and local retirees. And pick Illinois. Click in Illinois. You'll see the top pensions for Illinois. Speaking of cops. Illinois, do we have time? I hear a
20 seconds, go.
Oh, we need to talk about the state police in Illinois. Their pensions are ridiculous.
State police, we rule you. Okay, well, they're getting paid like ridiculous amounts. Well, why? Because they can! We'll be right back. Jim Tobin, TaxpayersUnited.org.
This is your Robertson Roberts Brokerage Daily Precious Metals Update. In early trading on Wednesday, gold is $1 lower at $1,086 per ounce. Silver is 18 cents higher at $14.02 per ounce. Bitcoin is trading at $430. Robertson Roberts Brokerage has been helping people invest in precious metals for nearly 40 years. If you want to find out more about gold and silver, give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co.
Okay, you want to make sure when we come back we get the what, Southern Illinois State Police or something?
State Police, Illinois State Police. They have the worst pensions of any cops in Illinois and any other part of the country, as far as I know.
The worst? What, they don't get paid anything? You mean the other way? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. The pension.
Yeah, they're all making, by the time they retire, they're all making over $100,000. And then
it's like they work to retire. And then, of course, they got to protect and get the thin blue line of you support, and we kind of beat the crap out of them, cover up, and make sure they don't target their pensions. It's all about protecting pensions.
Also, I made a slight error when I said 9%. if they live for 30 more years, it's much what they really put into the system is closer to 2 or 3% of their total payout. So, but if we start talking about state police here, I can clear that up.
Yeah, no, this would be awesome. Yeah, how does Christina's efforts intertwine at all with you? You have any, comment on what she's doing?
Oh, I sure do. I think I was about to say, if we have time, yeah. I happened to be reading the Wall Street Journal a couple of years ago, and here is Christina. Full column about her efforts in Texas to get the Green Party on the ballot, and I was impressed because, first of all, I didn't know it was in the journal until I opened up the paper. And secondly, I never did get such a good article in the Wall Street Journal. So she one-upped me.
Yeah, she's, you know, we've enjoyed our time with her, but, you know, I'm, you know, I, you probably would understand our, you know, leanings maybe more than, she has her own thing, yeah. Thinking that, you know, well, as long as we get the people up there talking, well, then, of course, when I had her on, I'm all right, what's your criteria? You know, how do you limit? Who is, you know, on your list of how they get to and kind of you start all over again, you know, but it's, but, yeah, I don't see any benefit in this. I stopped voting in 02. I mean, I still run for office. You know, I'll go up there and go, and then there's some, you know, new reporter that didn't get the memo. And they go, well, you don't even vote. Thank you for bringing that up. Oh, didn't you get the memo? You never ask Ernie that question. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. So we have some fun. And I'm just, it's all about public opinion to me. And that's where you come in. It's about the perception of what's going on. It's about public opinion, and I'm just so I always work on that, and we have a lot of influence with the young and everything. I mean, you know, I did the Levolution thing, right?
No, I didn't. The what?
You know, the Ron Paul Revolution logo. I'm the one that.
Oh, I didn't know that. No. Oh, good for you.
So that came out of here. So we were all part of this, you know, and still doing stuff. That's
we
our
call
thing.
It the conspiracy.
Yeah, which one? I mean, I thought they rule us. That's a conspiracy. All right, here we go.
Created audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Jim Tobin. He'll have something to say about, you know, his daughter and her efforts and what she's doing, having a big impact. I mean, a lot of people, yeah, it's just got to be fair and fair, and it's not fair enough, and it should be fair. And she got free and equal and debates, and Larry King, you know, doing the first alternative. Well, when you say alternative, it's just more encompassing of everybody that can actually win to be president. You get enough ballot status to get electoral votes that you can be president. I guess if you can be president, you should be on the people who show as the option of, no, you're not allowed in the presidential election committee of this is, you may choose from communist candidate A or fascist candidate B, and, you know, and that's, you know, get over it. And I'm going, this is, I've abandoned the political, this is, man, I'm for shunning, man. I'm for just everybody knowing what's up, you know, just like, you know, Taxpayers United. Well, we got Jim Tobin on. Are you seeing, what's the more effective way? I mean, you know, what kind of effect have you guys had on this? You had a good example of Illinois State Police you wanted to tell us about. Go ahead.
Yeah, the top 200 state police pensions in Illinois are all over $100,000 a year. Let's take a look at Mark Stevens. His annual pension, $107,000, retired at the ripe old age of 51, and that means he'll average life expectancy is way over 30 years. He's collected $443,000 in pensions so far since he retired at 51, and if he has a normal lifetime, he will receive $5,548,000. And the percent of lifetime estimated paid by the employee is only 3%. He paid only 3% of $5.5 million. And if he lives to be 85, or has an average lifetime, he will get back $5,548,000. But he only put in 3% of that amount into his pension payout. All these state cops here are all getting pensions, the top 200, I should say, are all receiving pensions over $100,000 a year. Now, the state police at Illinois are noted for one thing, well, maybe two things.
Beating the crap out of people.
Handing out speeding tickets. I don't know that they're doing that much beating. They're actually raping and pillaging the taxpayers by collecting ridiculous pensions. Well, their salaries are outrageous, too. It's ridiculous. These guys are glorified Keystone cops. That's what they are. They're noted for handing out speeding tickets and working the precincts for the politicians to help get their tax-raising buddies reelected in Springfield. And, of course, they're also well-noted for setting up roadblocks. Some of these state cops retire to these city halls in Palos Heights or down in Fairfield, Illinois, and they set up roadblocks, and they bring in their state police buddies to help them help assist them.
Make some money!
Yeah, and then basically that allows us to control. That helps the politicians control the people by setting up these ridiculous.
You know, I talked to officers and I asked them this question. I mean, what the heck is, you know, what kind of? Well, we gotta, you know, they talk about, oh, there's no quotas and all that. I go, right. What they're doing is, if they don't write tickets, I even had the state treasurer on my show, you know, Carol Springer, and she was saying, when things are getting bad, this is 07. No, it was 03. She's going, when the coffers get kind of near threatened, we're going to have to cut some officers. No, we got to be a revenue source. They just go write more tickets. They justify their existence, pay their pensions, get to. This is a big, giant, all the king's highwaymen. It's bad. And I'm wondering, what's going to break it?
It's a boondoggle. The Illinois State Police are basically unnecessary. We have cops here, there, and everywhere. We don't need the State Police of Illinois. The Crime Bureau, which is, I think, located in Springfield, the Crime Bureau, I understand, is pretty good. We could keep that. But as far as the rest of them, get rid of them. They're over, I think we have 2,000 state police in Illinois, and they can only operate on state property, which means primarily the toll roads. Toll highways, and that's what they do. They hand out speeding tickets and help generate revenue to pay their lavish salaries. It's really a taxpayer ripoff. And I know I talked to the new governor a couple years ago before he was governor, and I strongly advised him to cut back the state police. I guess if you're governor, you can't talk about getting rid of the state police, but I wish he would. However, the new governor of Illinois is really done a good job so far. The income tax has dropped 25% last year.
Whoa.
And they haven't passed a budget yet. It's 7-8 months overdue, but that's fine with me. As far as I'm concerned, they could go another 2 years without passing a budget, because that's if it continues to result in lower income taxes, that'll be great.
You know,
I think it's wonderful. Thank you, Governor Rauner.
Well, it's in an atmosphere that would allow for. I give you an example here in Arizona. You know, we're activists. We do kind of whatever, change in minds, and it starts in 94, unrestricted concealed carry, you know, initiative that goes, and we do our thing, and we're, you know, being buttheads, and libertarian candidates run, and all this kind of stuff. And eventually, it's 20 years later, and this stuff just starts falling like dominoes. There, yeah, we're, you know, increasing rights here, we're cutting taxes here, we're doing. Well, what happened? Our libertarian candidate for governor in 94 and 98, you know, ran again for state legislature and kind of just give him what for. And he's big senior partner of a, you know, very impressive law firm that kind of, damn, a Harvard law grad kind of summa cum laude kind of guy. But what happens? The governor appoints him as Superior Court judge. Now he's a federal magistrate. He's a judge for the federal U.S. District Court. All of a sudden, now he's like, in retirement, you know, what might I do this time? Then, just this last week, we have Clint Bullock, which was head of the Institute for Justice, you know, and at the Goldwater Institute, and big libertarian, spoke at one of our freedom summits, our first one, as a matter of fact. All of a sudden, now he was just appointed as Supreme Court Justice in Arizona. And we're going, yep, is the tide turning? Yeah, probably, philosophically, they, you know, these guys want cover and so on. But it always comes down to when it comes to the money. When it comes to the budget, when it's the billions of dollars of, and a lot of these programs are able to be sustained because of the federal government coming in with big, giant, slush government governor money. You know, what do you know about that? I mean, I don't see, it's unsustainable, but they come in and go, yeah, but if you play ball, and if you don't arrest any of the bankers, if you let all this financial stuff go and let us do it again, and we'll pay a little bit the county recorder of how we did the merge transfer of the corruption of whatever, and then they give them some money. Is the federal government going to keep giving money?
Oh, I'm sure they probably will, even if a Republican wins. I understand the leading Republican candidate is a fellow from out east. And, I don't know that it's going to make that much difference if he wins the election.
Yeah, but we'll get a wall in Arizona. Damn it, we're going to get us a Trump wall.
Yeah, we'll make the Mexicans pay for it and love it. That means he's supporting a huge increase in tariffs. Tariffs are what caused the 1930s depression. The Smoot-Hawley tariffs were a major cause of the 1930s depression. That's a really dumb idea. He has some good ideas, but that one is a loser. But I'd like to mention, however, that surprise that happened about 6, 7, 8 years back. I was reading the Wall Street Journal.
Okay, go ahead and get the microphone up. I'm always, losing you again.
I always always was hoping I'd get an article. Well, I was mentioned in the Wall Street Journal a couple times, but you're right. I saw an article about Green Party going on the ballot in 2010 and who put the Green Party on the state ballot in Texas in 2010, but Christina Tobin, my daughter. So I went, my gosh, she's ahead of me in the Wall Street Journal coverage. So,
well, I mean, is she green? I mean, is she kind of progressive, or is she just, you know, fairness to get them on, or Ralph Nader should be included into, or somebody kind of whatever? I mean, what's her bet?
Well, more choices, more voices. I'm all in favor of that. She did put Ralph Nader on the ballot in 45 states, plus D.C. in 2008, so she knows how to do her job. And she also, while she was here in Illinois, she was defending people from being knocked off the ballot. She worked with an attorney, and so I was all in favor of that. She saw how I was knocked off the ballot.
Yeah, she says that, you know, your experiences was a big inspiration, motivation for her. But I'm wondering, you know, how differing her philosophical solutions of we need to have more voices to be able to give the people to choose what I want, and how different that is from you. You want to know? Go to the archive. We're going to do it in the break. That doesn't matter for the show. But I am interested. You know, she's always, when you question it, she touts her father. Yes, she does. She goes, yeah, well, my dad. And I'm going, yeah, well, that's not, you know, you. So I just want to know. So how far from the philosophical tree does she land?
That's a good question. I had her fill out a questionnaire back when she was in high school.
What, Nolan chart or something?
Yeah, that's it, the Nolan chart, yeah. And I have it here in my desk somewhere, and sometime I'll have to trot it out and let you all know what she thought about things back when she was in high school. And
then have her take it again.
Yeah, that's funny.
Well, we
I don't know if she will.
I mean, you know, she and I, we, you know, I always looking for the overlap, you know, where we can, you know, help each other and, you know, progress towards better of, you know, I don't care. But the thing is that I can see that she understands the rhetoric, but she's kind of more, you know, democracy. You know, the people, if they're fully informed, they'll make the right decisions, of which she may have a preference of whatever, but she kind of steers away from what her personal goal is as much as everybody gets to have their goal. My point is that, you know, it's freedom is not a goal. It's to me, it's more like I've come to realize it's more of a method. If you have non-coercion, if you allow people to be free, you know, or to do what they want, as long as they're not bothering anybody, their personal goals may not be to be free. It may be in the collective commune of I don't give a crap as long as I don't have to pay for it, you know. So I'm going, let people, you know, their goal is freedom is a personal decision. You know, let them have that. I don't care. Go your own version of whatever you leave me alone, do whatever hippie commune. I don't care. I just want to have the non-aggression principle as the method by which I get there. And, you know, so the personal goals is not, everybody's got, I got a plan. You know, you know how it is. You go to the forums and you're at the candidate and the Republicans and Democrats say how bad the other guy is and their plan is better than the other plan. And you go to Libertarian, I get up in these forums and it'd be, you know, John Shattuck for Congress or John McCain I ran against, you know, for Senate and, you know, state legislator and Secretary of State. You know, I'm not voting, I'm running for Secretary of State. And my sign is the V for Vendetta, you know, still voting with a question mark, and the V is the V for Vendetta. Got voted most popular sign in newspapers. So I'm just, you know, just being a butthead. Well, the point is that I'm trying to make sure that people understand that their version of freedom is theirs, but they can't impose it. And I'm going, just, you know, so I'm with Christina on her free and equal access to expose people to what choices that they have. But really, it's the mechanism by which you get that choice. And that your choice shouldn't interfere with somebody else's choice. So when you go up in the forums and they go, all right, you know, Libertarian Ernest Hancock, what's your plan for freedom? For you to have your own plan? You know, and they go, oh, that's not a plan. You can't do that. You got to tell us what your plan. No, my plan is you get to have your own freaking plan. You know, and they go, well, but then I have to think and crap, and I can't. It's too hard. You know, I'm going, oh, you guys are killing me. You're going to be roadkill. You know, so this is, as the economy and the wars and all this stuff that's going and playing out now, you know, come to fruition, a lot of the stuff that you're doing demonstrating just how unsustainable this thing is, I'm going, then what? What's after? I mean, once it falls and you have an after, or you're painting for people what's going to happen, you go, if you don't fix this and the Illinois State Police keeps continuing and getting, this is going to happen. I mean, you know, what do you anticipate is going to happen?
Oh, I think that most likely scenario is that the state pension funds in Illinois and Arizona, especially Illinois, will run out of money.
Let's go ahead and talk about it. That's updates.lrn.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Coming. Something wicked this way comes, and it's called Government.
I was on my way.
Yeah, we're just gonna leave. Just, you know, I break with thee. I break with thee. I break with thee. And you throw dog poop on government shoes and you leave. Then you go to the bar and you pick a, hey, you're looking for other governments with dog poop on their shoes, and you pick another one. Or not. Well, let's go ahead and talk about what would be next. Are we looking for another government? Are we kind of thinking, you know, the self of leave me aloneism and I'll do it my, what are we looking for? It's going to, you know, solve this. What are you advocating for as a solution, Mr. Jim Tobin?
Obviously, we don't want to raise the income tax any higher. We want to let it roll back to where it's supposed to go back to in Illinois and other states as well.
Yeah, well, Paul, what did he say? He says, I want to roll it back to zero. Is that an option?
That's fine with me, and I understand. I think there might be 9 states now that don't have an income tax, and hopefully there are movements in some of the states to get rid of their income tax. And that's an encouraging thing because it opens up an avenue action for taxpayers to move to states that don't have an income
around
tax.
The year of 2000, Arizona got the signatures to put on the ballot to eliminate our income tax. Boom. And the people that organized and filed suit and got it taken off the ballot was the Firemen's Union.
Yeah. The government unions have been bad to taxpayers throughout this country. They're good for the union members, also known as the middle class. ridiculous, but it's a ripoff for the taxpayers. I think that what's going to happen in states like Illinois is that the pension funds will gradually lose the amount of money they have, and they'll have to notify their members that, well, you know, that $6,000 a month you're getting from us, next year you'll be getting $3,000 a month. Because there just isn't any more. That's the most likely scenario for states like Illinois. The pension funds are independent. They're funded by the states, but they're independent entities. And if the states won't fund them with any more money, or more than likely will cut the funding from, say, $6-7 billion a year to $1 or $2 billion a year, then the people who are living the good life on the taxpayers' backs are going to have to learn how to live at a lower amount of money. They'll still be ahead of the game because we taxpayers are only getting an average of $16,000 a year of Social Security retirement benefits. But, you know, at least that's the most likely scenario I see. I see that's the way it's panning out. In the meantime, they're cutting back on services in states like Illinois and Arizona. Police and fire, you know, they found that they've had to fire some of the existing people so they could pay pensions to those who retired.
Oh, I got to tell you this story. You'd understand this more than most. Beginning of August, they had a thing this summer. It was called the Convention of the Arizona League of Cities and Towns. And there was a libertarian, small community vice mayor up in northeastern Arizona, Pine Top Lakeside up there, that got me an invite of kind of, all my friends that know me, I can't keep my mouth shut. They've been very proud of me, man. I just do my head back Stevie Wonder impression and go, tell me more, tell me more, tell me more. Man, did they spew all the, man, how are we going to rule the people and get more out of whatever. And this was amazing to me that the whole purpose of these big, you know, 5-square-mile little town had 30 policemen and a gazillion fire, and it's all about them keeping the infrastructure in place, keeping them elected, and then anybody that drives through the town and go out and get some tickets and revenue and pay for yourself, and we got our own army, and oh, by the way, here's our big giant pensions. And you look at the finances, they never show you what the obligation or long-term obligation is. All they show you is what their monthly payment is. Mm-hmm. And I go, no, I need to see not the credit card minimum payment. I want to know what the balance is. You can't get it. And I'm going, look, is there a freedom-oriented, you know, leave you aloneist, everybody come up here and, you know, build a society of we got it. But no. No, no, it's you're here to be tax slaves for us. And as I looked at that, I go, this is a philosophy that is unsustainable. But it keeps getting, and they finally got their last, 99th or whatever, the last municipal corporation in Arizona to join the league. They finally got what they wanted, and this was the keynote opening address by a professor at the University of Arizona that I had on the show. And it was on the Declaration of Independence. I go, oh, hey, this show is called Declaration of Independence. Let's go. I want to see what he has to say. I want to see how he spends this. This is what he said. The Declaration of Independence says, you know, you have a life, right, the, you know, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. And as the elected officials of your constituency, it's your job to provide them happiness. I mean, you know where that goes.
Line their pockets with taxpayer money.
Whatever, man. I was just, I mean, I am just beside myself of how long this has been able to continue. And I, from your perspective, how? What's funding this? What is, it's coming, it's going to end through inflation or devaluation or just, you know, just an abandonment of the dollar, something, is that this can't go on forever. What no. should we look for to see of what's going to be inevitable in the crack up?
We have to allow cities to declare bankruptcy, and that has to happen. The state legislatures have to allow cities and school districts to declare bankruptcy. That's another possible way out of the mess, so they can then renegotiate the contracts with the government employee unions.
Well, aren't there laws and constitution and statute and everything they did to say, and you can never declare bankruptcy on everybody else but us?
Yeah, New York and Arizona and Illinois have the strongest public pension protections in the country. The constitutions in these three states and a few others make it very difficult to cut the pension benefits for the existing retirees. But if the money is not in the pension funds, there's not much else they can do except cut the pensions. So,
or increase taxes.
And if they don't do that, then more and more of us have to leave.
They increase taxes, and they do municipal bonding of we got more money because we shifted it over from, and this is, you know, we don't own, sell the buildings of whatever the hell. I mean, it is the biggest ripoff. I mean, just legalized theft ever. And at some point, people just go, I break with thee philosophically. And I'm just going, is that starting to happen? Like what you're talking about, Illinois people just moving.
Yeah, people are moving. And, 10 years ago, my family and I bought a home in another state just in case the situation in Illinois gets too far out of hand. But this new governor has been very good for us so far. He's allowed the income tax to drop 25% last year. And he is really holding off against the machine in Illinois, led by Chicago machine boss Michael Madigan, who's the House Speaker. He's the evil empire, and his daughter happens to be Attorney General for the state of Illinois. So how is she going to sue him for corruption, his own daughter? He has a great situation there.
You know,
he can do just about anything he wants, and his daughter happens to be Attorney General.
Seriously. So, you can't make this stuff up. You know,
no, this is Chicago. This is Illinois politics.
Yeah, you know, well, I saw on Adam Freeman's Phoenix a story where Rahm Emanuel was bemoaning about how he's got to protect his chances to run for president in 2020. Is that a real possibility?
Oh, I suppose he could run. Hey, after all, people were dumb enough to vote for and elect Obama. Obama was a former state senator from Chicago, a product of the Chicago machine. I warn people, but they voted for him, and they voted for him a second time. I think part of the problem is the Republicans couldn't come up with any decent candidate. My gosh.
Yeah, seriously. They come up with McCain
versus,
and Ron Paul. And I'm going, it's McCain over Ron. I'm going, are you freaking stupid? Well, they're doing the same thing. And, you know, we don't want the establishment. I mean, they definitely, we don't want Trump. You know, and why is there such an aversion to Trump? He's not one of them enough or something? What's up?
Well, that's a good thing. That could be what it is. But I wish he'd stop supporting tax increases and stick to cutting taxes and reducing spending. He's talking about reducing spending now. That's good. But let's keep in mind 80% of your local government spending is for salaries and benefits for the employees. When they talk about raising taxes to fund the schools, well, 80% of school spending is for salaries and benefits.
Yeah, and then the services just kind of go down the drain. It's like Detroit, you know? They said, hey, 911, yeah, we don't go there anymore. Yeah, it's like, you know, we lose money, so you're on your own. They go, fine. Then they start building the community based on not you, and then here comes the politician. Oh, we're going to reopen the make you tax slaves again, give me a ribbon to cut, and give us money. You know?
Another thing we help taxpayers with is beating down tax increase referenda. We've defeated 417 property tax increase referenda since 1977. So if you want us to help you beat it down, no matter what state you're in, give us a holler.
No, I want it to be more! Yeah, come on, do it. Let's kill that goose, man. We'll just go to the Phoenix, will rise from the ashes. You got to have ashes. Well, you know, I'm glad you're there and certainly bringing voice to this.
Thank you.
There we go. Thank you, Jim. That was fun.
Yeah. I'm fighting off of pneumonia here.
Wow. Shoot. I'm sorry. Well, thanks for making the show.
Yeah, I didn't cough on the air. I'm going to be getting a coughing spasm right now.
I got a cough button.
Hey, what I need is a good drink, you know?
There you go. I this is the first year I think I totally, you know, bypassed any flu or anything. You know, I just did, you know, it's diet and health and all that kind of crap and, you know, just kind of, you know, doing better. I tell you, it's because of my awareness of, you know, they, them, those, you know, don't want me well. So I'm like, just to piss them off, I just eat better and go, in your face, you know. But I'm really wondering, Christina influenced by you in how she... You know, that would be interesting. I mean, the more I press her on this very question, she kind of evades it a little bit and talked to Dad, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering where, and as time goes on, you know, all of a sudden you get smarter and smarter to your kids. I got four kids, 26 to 30, and they're all, you know, by the time they hit 25, all of a sudden Dad wasn't as stupid anymore.
Mm-hmm.
How old is Christina now?
Christina is 34. She should know better. But you remember now, she was working with Ralph Nader and his friends, and I think she's picked up some of this stuff from Ralph Nader. And I like the idea of legalizing drugs and ending wars against drugs and wars in general, and Nader and his people are in favor of that, so I guess that was appealing to her. But I think she might have picked up some of these things from Nader while working for his campaign.
Yeah, what are we going to agree on?
She didn't work for his campaign, but she helped put him on the ballot.
Yeah, no, I understand the distinction. You know, and that was kind of one thing we had when we had her on. There's a gentleman, his name's Dr. Frank Tamburi, here that every Thursday, tomorrow we'll do the Trump Report. And it's been a couple of months. Every Thursday we'll do the Trump Report, at least an hour to three, depending on, you know, news. And he'll come in, we'll do the Trump Report. Well, it's really, you know, the presidential election cycle of 2016, and I can't muster up enough give a crap to do the research. He didn't just come on, and we'll talk about it. And his big thing, eye-opening experience, was Ralph Nader. Because I think it was the 2000 campaign, you know, did he run in 2000? I think it was 2000. But anyway, it was earlier on one of his campaigns, or 04, or whatever it was. And he... was greatly influenced by when they did the documentary on Ralph Nader and how they prevented them from being in the debates and wouldn't even let them in the building and all these. Wait, let me get this straight. I have a choice that can be president, that has the ability on enough ballots to be, and I don't even get to know who they are. I go, what the hell? So that, you know, kind of prompted him to get involved in the Ron Paul campaign. He's always been an Austrian economist and followed Ron Paul since, like, you know, voted for him in 88, you know, this kind of thing. So he was incensed in the electoral process, you know, like your daughter was. And so he came on the show with her, and the last time we had her on, I think they were together. And it was, you know, the great influence that this Ralph Nader thing had on someone that really didn't necessarily support his rhetoric, but that wasn't the point. You know, it was the option. I went through this in 92, the Perot thing. By then, I'm libertarian and kind of, you know, the pox on all your whatever anyway. But I'm like, you know, 44 election laws, I challenged to the Ninth Circuit. I'm doing oral argument, man. I'm giving it what for. And my whole point was, I go, look, I'll fall on the sword for the chance to not vote for Perot. I'm going, you guys don't get it. It's the process that they are screwed. Oh, and they're going to computerize voting. So I'm just going, yeah, that's why I ran for Secretary of State twice in 92. I mean, in 94, I warned of it. And in 2006, I go, yep, here it is, you know. So it became, got a lot of reform and the manual ballot 2%, you know, manual validation, all this other stuff. But it just demonstrated how corrupt it was. And I am of the opinion there is no political fix. There may be a philosophical one. And it really comes down to just public opinion. So your efforts and your daughters and anybody else, I'm going, this is just supporting evidence that people need to know. The whole freaking thing is just, if not be abandoned, is just going to be inconsequential and irrelevant and obsolete anyway. So we need it, like the guy before you, Brandon Smith, is alt-market.org or whatever. You know, it's alternative markets are all that come out of this Loveolution that we're just going to, you know, think our way out of it and ignore government. So I don't see another alternative, an option. With the numbers that you're presenting, I don't see how it's going to get fixed. Or even should it? I mean, what do you see as the end game?
It shouldn't. They should just let the pension funds go down. Don't stop putting $6-7 billion a year into the state pension fund and keep it at $1 or $2 billion.
You know what that equates to? Let me tell you what that's like. That's like Brennan, whatever his name was, that was the governor in Iraq after the invasion. And he goes and they fired all the Ba'athist Party guys. They took them all off the payroll. They go to all the municipal employees and say, and you don't work here no more and you don't get pension kind of, you're done. And you're going to have the same kind of uprising. They're going to rise up against, give us our tax money if we were cops and firemen and we lift weights and got guns and crap. You think it would get that bad?
Yeah, it could, but I think it's much easier to just leave states like Illinois and Arizona and go to states that have more freedom, like, for example, Texas or Tennessee.
And, I'm Daniel.
That beats that. I'm too old to go out in the streets with guns and bombs and all that crap. I've done enough damage to them over the year. I feel good about what I've done, and I have another 5 or 10 years to do this. So, and I'll do it as long as I can keep my health.
Well, this is in Arizona. We like to think we're a little bit freer in some ways, and he just kind of, you know, throwing us crumbs, you know, and it really comes down to the money. You know, it's a you think you're free until you look at how much of a tax slave you are, you know.
Yeah, your pensions are pretty bad, though. I mean, you know, you take a look at the numbers we have posted for the top 100, or I think we did maybe top 500 pensions in 2012, and they're pretty bad. They're not as bad as Illinois, but they're bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I appreciate all your work. If there's something that pops up that you think we should talk about, get to know, and I'll have you on speed dial, and we'll make sure something comes up. Because in POTUS 2016, I guarantee freaking tea, you know, issues going to come up. I need to talk to me some Jim Tobin. Know what I mean?
Yeah, that'll be great. Hopefully we'll get some pension, or I should say some referendums to fight in some of the other states this year. So we've done other states before, but I'd sure like to do more of them. And
well, where do you get your funding?
If you get any Arizona or anywhere outside Illinois, I'll give you a holler about that, too.
Yeah. No, Arizona's got it. It's the only thing I'm thinking, I'm going, damn, you know, what would I do? Maybe I'd run as a write-in, just so I can put up signs. I don't get trusted. I don't give a crap anyway. And, for Phoenix City Council or Mayor or something like that. And a write-in, so it counts. But it's just an excuse for us to do the sign thing. I'm big on the sign thing. You know, I'm all about how many times I get put these signs up. Yeah, here's the signs. Well, you're not going to win. We got a program now. It's called, if you just did a search on Stop Wars Home Educate, where we use the opening of Star Wars as, you know, Vader wearing Uncle Sam top hat saying Stop Wars Home Educate. That program we've been putting up and kind of, you know, just it's clandestine. It's another Loveolution sign campaign. I've been waiting another eight years to do this. And we just, you know, hammering it out there with all the television, you know, reporters there starting to bug me, and I'm going to start taking calls today. I told them to wait till after 10, and you know, my time here because I was doing this with you, and they're going to be, you know, wanting to. You go look at that, and you'll see it's part of the same. Just public opinion. They, of course, they have to get the youth. And I tell you what, my big thing is. This is the, you know, my mantra now. A lot of the stuff that I advocate has become part of common knowledge, and like you say, people are learning. But this is the one thing that I'm afraid of. They're taking home education. And the people, the smartest people that are like, man, I'm getting my kid out of, and we're not going to force vaccinate this, and we're not going to mandate and pledge of allegiance at 5 years old in kindergarten, kind of we're extracting from the system. And they go into things like Khan Academy, which, you know, Bill Gates starts to get his, you know, fingers into, and you create an account for that one kid. It's kind of like Luminosity for adults, and they get to, you have a program, and they get points or how much they watch and what they do, and they interface, and you got a different account for each kid, and it maps their mind and how they learn and what they learned and what they, and it feeds in and it creates a permanent record, a real, your permanent record database of every kid has an account that the king for the first time gets inside their head. And that is dangerous as hell. So I'm going, look, as we're doing this home educate thing, this is all great, but I need to have serverless or encrypted, or they don't get to know who the hell, which one of my kids is none of your freaking business. Then we start, you marry that with, we found a story, if you did California DNA 1983, it'll come up, you know, television stories, everything out of San Francisco. And what they found out is since 1983, the state of California has been accumulating the little blood spot from the heel of newborns. Every child born in California since 1983 has their DNA samples on record, and they sell the data to anybody that asks and pays for it. And it's all these insurance companies and governments and cross-reference database of, you know, here we got your mind and how it works from birth to death. We have your DNA, and we go, you know what? We're going to take out William Wallace at 7 years old.
That is nutty.
No, I mean, this is, I'm not making this stuff up.
No, I understand. No, I didn't know that, but I'm not surprised.
California DNA 1983. You put in that search term, boom. It you scare the crap out of you. And then I thought Khan Academy is awesome. I even used the material, you know, Hour of Coding for my grandchildren and a lot of stuff. But it freaked me out with all the information that they wanted that created a permanent account that got them. And I'm going, you know, you don't need to know which one of my, you know, suck it. They can count, all the kids can have one account under Papa, man. Hell no. So I'm just, this is, I see a weird future coming, but it's public opinion. That's where you come in. These kinds of data points that you're talking about and how much we're slaves for retired cops and police that made sure that incumbents got in so they can get an 8% increase on whatever and they be in charge and they get a pension. You know, the stuff that you're doing, this is where the cracks are going to happen.
Yeah. Thank you.
In my opinion.
I agree.
So, well, no, I'm with you, brother. I want to help. So make sure you stay in touch and let me know what we can do to, you know, give you as much voice as we can. I'm all over it.
Okay, I appreciate that. I'll let Jared know, too. He handles these things for me. But talk to him right now, and then I'll cough my guts out.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on.
True.
Feeling
I'm holding
bad.
It in here, so I...
I got
came down with it. We were downstate yesterday. Oh, we saw about 12 cars and trucks that went off the road before we got down there yesterday. I guess they went out over the nightfall, but we had whiteouts yesterday morning on the way down there. It was a little scary, but at least we didn't go off the road ourselves. So,
man, well, good.
That's
well,
why I caught this bug, and boy.
Yeah, well, it helps that I, you know, only need a sweater in the morning, maybe.
Yeah. Actually, the weather here has been the best in my life.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
In Chicago, this is the first cold weather we've had since February of last year, and we haven't had any significant snow or, you know, we had a little, but not much. The best weather, and the same in Wisconsin, where we have a home in Shawnee by Green Bay, best weather they can recall ever.
Well, good. You know, here, and we had a lot of rain, so, I mean, Arizona's always appreciative. You know, that's one thing they don't tell people. I was at the League of City, whatever, and we know this because when you're in real estate, my wife's in real estate, and I have my license too. I'm inactive, you know, whatever, I do this. But, you know, the they got to tell you the truth because you're dealing with contracts. I mean, you know, Arizona has 40-year surplus of water.
Oh.
I mean, There is no shortage of white. I don't give a crap what they say, because you have the population of Manhattan in a freaking enormous state the size of Arizona, and it's got watershed. Know what I mean? So I'm going, you know, well, duh. So this is, we're fine on the water thing. So when Southern California has their problems, what are they doing? They're buying a bunch of land in Arizona where they got, you know, like oceans of water underneath the surface that's been accumulating forever. So I'm just going, yeah, it's all lies, man. It's all propaganda. And I'm glad you're out there helping us sift through it. You know, I hopefully you'll come back on. You had enough fun that we can do it again.
Yeah, I will definitely.
Jim, thank you very much.
Thanks for allowing me this opportunity.
Yeah, no. Anytime you think it's something you got to get out, let me know. We'll do it.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, sir. Thanks, hope you feel better.
Thank you.
All right.